Isn't he good? Amen, amen, amen. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. So we're looking forward to a great weekend. I believe we're going to have a lot of guests, a lot of visitors. Put on your best smile. Amen. Nobody ought to come to church Friday, Saturday, or Sunday with a frown on your face. Amen. We ought to be the smilingest bunch anyway ever has been. Praise God. Somebody said smile. It makes people wonder what you've been up to. Amen. So if you'll smile, they might ask. And then you can tell them it's because I got the Lord in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When you have joy unspeakable and full of glory, how can you not be smiling? Amen. Praise God. So we want to invite folks and let the Lord lead us and guide us. Amen. We'll be passing out some special invitations, get some Bible studies going, and we're looking forward to God kicking off some great things here. Would you stand with me tonight? Chapter number 13 of the book of Matthew, verse number 44. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 44. And Jesus said again, everybody say again. That means just in case you didn't get it the first time. Amen. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, that and buyeth that field. Everybody say, and the treasure is in the field. It's not in the house. It's not in the church. It's not in the temple. It's in the field. Amen. It's not in the church. It's not in the house. It's in the field. Amen. And so we've got to get to the field if we're going to get the treasure, because the treasure is in the field. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Amen. We like good services. We like good church. I've heard people say it of late. I believe it's so. People said we need miracles in the house of God. I believe that. Amen. You know how to get miracles in the house of the Lord? Get the treasure into the house of the Lord. We need to see people get the Holy Ghost. You know how to see people get the Holy Ghost? Get people here that need the Holy Ghost. You know how to see people get healed? Get people here that need to be healed. People need to get saved. You know how to get them saved? Get them here that need to be saved. Well, we need some folks to get baptized. We'll get some people here that need to get baptized. Whatever we need, it's in the field. Amen. And the treasure's in the field. God's going to be where the treasure is. Amen. You see, whenever God loves you, He really loves you. But if there's somebody sitting right beside you that doesn't have what you have, He's a lot more interested in saving them than He is just blessing you. And yet sometimes we look at church as a personal bless me club. That I just need to drag somehow through the back doors and crawl in and sit on the pew and say, God, just bless me enough. Just give me $10 worth. Just enough to get me to Sunday morning. That's about all that I need. Amen. Praise God. Just $10 worth. Don't give me enough to make me want to change. Don't give me enough to change my attitude and my spirit and make me love my brother and make me look for the treasure that's in the field. Just give me about $10 worth. And you know, in today's prices, that ain't much. Amen. You know what we need to do? We need to come in here, throw our hands wide, open our mouth wide, open our heart wide, and say, fill me, Lord. Fill me. Fill me till I'm overflowing. Hallelujah. That when I walk out of here, it's going to be flowing out of me. Amen. People bump into you on the job, they ought to get Holy Ghost all over them. People bump into you in the grocery store. We ought to be so full of Holy Ghost it get all over them. Hallelujah. Everywhere we go, let it be contagious. Let it be overflowing. Amen. So that we can reach our world. The treasure's in the field. Amen. Praise God. You know what I think? I think there's still some treasures out there tonight, Brother Hart. Praise God. I think there's still some treasures out there. Amen. See, Brother Banker didn't know when he talked to Brother Jimmy Martin a number of years ago, and he had his beard and all the rest of it. He didn't know there was a treasure there. He didn't know. Looking in the eyes of somebody that had all kinds of mixed up problems in his life, and he didn't know there was a treasure there. Amen. He may not have realized, but God said, there's my treasure. You may be looking at a neighbor today and you think, I don't know how God could save them, but you hear me today, God can save them. You're looking on the outside, God's looking on the inside, and he said, there's a treasure there. They may have some little problem with drug addiction today, but God can save them and make them a treasure. God may take them from a pew to a pulpit, you don't know. Amen. God may be saving us some Sunday school workers and some bus drivers and some Sunday school workers to get in on the bus route and get out in the field and help us to get some people in, some door knockers and some prayer warriors and some worshipers. Amen. God only knows the treasures that are all around us here right now. Amen. We may not be able to see that with our eye right now, but you don't know what God may do. Hallelujah. I was with a pastor a number of years ago, and he said he went down the street with a man in his church, and the Lord just impressed him. There was a guy walking across the street in front of him, and the pastor said, God just told me that man's going to be in our church in a short time. And the man walking with him said, that couldn't be the Lord. He said, that's my uncle. He's the meanest man in town. Hallelujah. But you know what? It was the Lord. And when I preached in that church, he was sitting there and he was on fire for God. Amen. He was amening and shouting and worshiping and praising the Lord. God doesn't care if you're the meanest man in town. He can change all of that. Amen. Raymondville, somebody asked about a certain man, said, I hear that he goes to your church. And we said, yes, he's one of our main men. We love that brother. Amen. They said, that couldn't be so. He hates people like you. Well, I didn't know that. All I know is he went to teach a Bible study in his house. And his wife, I asked him to teach a Bible study. And she said, well, my husband said, you can come. But you better not ask him to come to church. He said, you got to be out of here in an hour. And don't ask him to come to church. I said, I can live with that. We went and taught the Bible study. He came to the Bible study. He sat there. I finished the Bible study, believe this or not, 15 minutes early. Can you believe I ever finished a service early? I finished 15 minutes early. And he started asking questions. And I started answering questions. And the hour was just about over. And I said, sir, I said, now I'll answer questions as long as you want to ask them. And I know any answers. I said, but you understand the hour's just about up. And I want you to know, I don't mind staying after the hour, but I want you to know that I'm honoring what I promised you I would do. You know what his last question was? When do you have church? I said, no, I'm not inviting you to come because you told me not to. Amen. But we have church Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, at Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday night at 7. I said, you're welcome to any service, but I'm not asking you to come because you told me not to. Guess what? Sunday morning he was there. Hallelujah. We baptized him in Jesus' name. He's the only man I ever baptized. When I let go of him, he rebaptized himself. He went right back under the water. Amen. Hallelujah. God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's still serving the Lord today. Amen. Praise God. Hey, the treasure's in the field. The treasure's in the field. God filled two elderly people with the Holy Ghost. Both of them were in their 70s when they got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And somebody said, those people go to your church. I said, yes, they do. And they said, well, that's a real surprise to us. And both of them, they hate Anglos. So I'm an Anglo if you didn't know what that is. Amen. And so they said, they hate Anglos. And I said, well, I didn't know they're the sweetest people I ever met. Amen. You know what? I love both of them. They came, they prayed through, they served God faithfully just for a short time. They were elderly. We preached both of their funerals, but they went home to be with the Lord in peace. Amen. I'm saying to you tonight, the treasure's in the field. There's young treasures out there, and there's old treasures out there. Amen. You never know who you pick up on a Sunday school bus route. Amen. That may love the Lord with all their heart. Had a little old girl in Raymondville we picked up. She was about 6 years old. We brought her to church for 2 or 3 years. And then she moved away. Her family moved and moved out into the West Coast somewhere. And we didn't ever see them again. One Sunday night right before, after the Lord had called us to Columbia, I was preaching a service and I looked back and I saw this beautiful young lady sitting in the congregation. And it just dawned on me who that was. It was that little 8-year-old girl. She was about 8 or 9 years old when she left. Her family took her away. And she said, Brother, and she came down, prayed through again that night. Praise God. She said, Brother Grissom, I couldn't wait to get back here. She said, I never forgot. I never forgot what you taught me. I never forgot your Sunday school. Sunday school teachers, I know it's tough sometimes. Amen. They seem sometimes unruly. Seems like they're not listening to what you say. It's hard to teach. It's hard to keep pressing on and doing the job. But you're putting something into a life. And let me hear you. They'll remember some things. You may not think they will, but they'll remember some things. And later on, way down in life, amen, they're going to make their way back again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just saying the treasure's in the field tonight, folks. The treasure is in the field. Amen. It's out there. We've just got to go looking for it, and that's the most precious thing. Amen. In the book of Ruth, the Bible talks about a little girl, or young woman, I should say, that had faced tragedy. She come home with her mother-in-law, and they came back to Israel after being in Moab. And her husband had died, and her mother-in-law's husband had died. And it was not a good situation. There was a lot of grief, there was a lot of problems. But Ruth came home with Naomi. And they hadn't been home very long. And Ruth says to Naomi, she says, now let me go to the field. You see, it's getting harvest time. And they didn't have much to eat. And she said, let me go to the field. In Bible times, if you'll remember, the scripture said to the people that owned land and planted harvest, they told them, round the corners of the field. Round the corners of the field. In other words, you were not supposed to harvest everything. You were supposed to leave some in the corners, he said, for the strangers in the land. Amen. Folks, we need to leave some room for some strangers in the house of God. And let me tell you, some strange ones come in from time to time. But that's all right. Amen. That's all right. Amen. But we need to always leave some room for some strangers to come in. And they said, once you reap the harvest, he said, you don't go back and pick up what's left behind. He said, you leave that for the widows and for the strangers. And every time we have a service, we need to leave a little bit. Hallelujah. Always needs to be something left for somebody else. And never get it all, but always just leave enough. So you see, Ruth went out into the field. And it was at that field that she got some direction from the Lord. You can get direction in the field. Somebody said, Brother Grissom, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, you'll get direction in the field. Right. Amen. Praise God. You don't always get it in the house. Sometimes you get it in the field. God can take you a long ways to give you the direction that you need to go. I was sitting on a platform in a service one night. It was a youth service. And just the Lord just spoke to me, not in an audible voice, but I know when God talks. And he said, simply, he said, go to Venezuela. I said, all right. Would you just talk to my wife about this? You know, I kind of need her to go along with me if I'm going. Amen. And And so that was all there was to it. Nothing else, no fancy lights, no lightning striking, nothing like that. Next day I just asked my wife, I said, did the Lord do anything special for you last night? She said, yes, he did. I said, well, what did he do? She said, you tell me first. And I said, well, the Lord told me to go to Venezuela. And she said, well, that's what he said to me. Amen. Well, now we're ready to go to Venezuela. Except for money. It costs money to go to Venezuela. The police called. And they said, did you have a storage room at such and such place? I said, yes, I do. They said, well, somebody broke into it last night. We need you to come out here and see what's missing. So we went out there to see what had been stolen. And sure enough, there were some valuable things missing. And my mom and dad had given me a guitar when I was 14 years old. And I never learned to play it, but still it was important. It's not important that I learned to play it. It's important that I had it. And somebody stole that. My wife had bought an old accordion somewhere up in Indiana on Christmas, come home dragging that thing, just in case somebody might want to play it. She's always thinking of other people. And so she brings that. Why in the world? I gave her this money for Christmas, and what does she buy? An old accordion. Oh, my goodness. But I didn't say that. I tried to be sweet anyhow. And among some other things were missing, but we went to the music store, you know, to get some idea about what these things cost. And you believe that guitar was worth $700. Man, I was excited. I went and told my wife, I said, that old guitar I had that I never learned to play, do you know how much that thing's worth? That's worth over $700. And she looked at me and she said, do you know how much that old accordion was worth? And I said, no. She said, it was worth $5,000. I love that old accordion. Thought that's the greatest instrument I've ever seen. Amen. So I've always said that God used a thief in State Farm to get us to Venezuela. Now, I don't believe he's sanctified. Don't get me wrong or anything. But, you know, God can give a thief, use a thief to get his work done too. Amen. And so we went to Venezuela. Amen. And you know what we did in Venezuela? We found out God told us to go to Colombia. Go figure. Don't ask me. I don't know. All I know, he said, go to Venezuela. I got to Venezuela and he said, now go to Colombia. I said, okay. And so we did. You see, but once you get in the field, God can give you direction. God can lead you where he wants you to go once you get in the field. Amen. Praise God. You see, a lot of people want to be in the pulpit. And a lot of people want to be on the platform. And a lot of people want to be on instruments. And a lot of people want to sing. And there's nothing wrong with any of these things. These are all great. But it doesn't matter. Before you get in the pulpit, you need to get in the field. Before you get on the platform, you need to get in the field. Before you sing in the choir, you need to get in the field. Amen. All of us are called to the field. Everybody is called to the field. Amen. Praise God. All of us are called there. Not one, not some, but all. I went to school with a guy who told me, he said, God has called me to the big churches. Amen. I didn't know then what I know now, or I would have said no. God has called you to the field. And if you work in the field enough, you can have a big church. Amen. The size of the church is going to be determined by how much time we spend in the field. Amen. Praise God. That's what God's concerned about. I don't know if you remember a song Lanny Wolf wrote years ago. There was a beautiful song said, my house is full, but my fields are empty. Amen. My house is full, but my field is empty. God is calling us tonight to the field. God is asking us tonight to return to the field. Amen. Do you know what Ruth found in the field? First of all, she found preservation. You want to make it? Do you want to make it? Then get in the field. Work in the field. If you'll get out in the field, friend, you won't have to worry about backsliding. When you're working for God and you're laboring for God and you're experiencing the joy of soul winning, you don't have to worry about backsliding. You're going to be preserved. Amen. It's not even going to enter your mind because you're in the field. It's whenever you sit on the pew and you're not in the field that you start getting discouraged. It's when you start looking around at your brothers and your sisters and what you think about them that you start getting discouraged. Amen. It's when you don't get out in the field but you spend all of your time just in the house and on the pew that the singing's not quite right and the preaching's not quite right and nothing else is quite right because you hadn't been to the field lately and you hadn't seen a soul lately and you hadn't prayed a prayer lately and you hadn't shed a tear lately and you haven't wept over anybody lately. You're just thinking about yourself. That's the best way to backslide that I know of. When all you can think about is me. Feed me. Bless me. 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 This is not about me. This is not about you. It's all about Him. And what He cares about is the field. Why did Jesus come to this earth? To save the treasure that's in the field. Where did Jesus find you? In the field. Where did He find me? In the field. He didn't find us in the church. He didn't find us upright. He didn't find us pure. He didn't find us holy. But we were lost sinners, undone. But He came and He gave His life. And He searched the field until He found us and He made us a part of His treasure. Amen. Amen. The treasure is in the field. When you're in the field, you'll experience protection. Boaz said to Ruth, he said, I've commanded the young men that they'll not touch you. Amen. Let me tell you something. When you're working for God in the field, He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. You may get in some precarious situations, but God's going to take care of you. God will give you wisdom. I was a young man. I knocked on this fellow's door, and he let me in until he found out what I wanted. He said, you inviting me to church? I said, yes, sir. I want you to come to church. He said, I'm going to go get my gun, and I'll be right back. The Lord gave me the wisdom to leave. Amen. He didn't appreciate my invitation, and the Bible said, shake the dust off your feet. I was shaking. I don't know about the dust, but I did leave some dust getting away from there. God just gave me a little wisdom there. I don't know if that was a word of knowledge or what, but I got out of the place. Whenever he started talking about guns and knives and such, it was time to go. But God protects us, doesn't He? You work in the field. God takes care of you. He'll take care of you. He protects you. There's provision in the field. Boaz told Ruth, he said, there's food. And you're just going up and eat when you want to. And there's water. Hallelujah. I remember one time Jesus, he was hungry. And he sent his disciples in the town to get some food. And he was sitting down by this well. And he was in a place called Samaria. And this woman came out. And he got in a conversation with her. Amen. You remember the story? and he wound up telling the woman, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that you're looking for. I'm the one that your forefathers were looking for. Amen. And she got all excited. She got so excited, she left her bucket at the well. She didn't need a bucket because she had the well on the inside. Hallelujah. You don't need a bucket when you have Jesus. You don't need a cup when you have Jesus. Hey, folks, we got the well tonight. Praise God. And so she got all excited. Meantime, his disciples came back. And you remember what he said? He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Anybody know what the joy of soul winning? There's nothing in the world like it. There's nothing in the world like winning souls. There's nothing in the world like working in the field. You talk about satisfaction. There's no song that you can sing that'll give you the satisfaction that winning a soul will bring. There's no sermon that you'll ever preach that'll match just winning one soul to Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you witness to people and all of a sudden these things start coming out of your head and out of your mouth and you think, whoa, where did that come from? I'm telling you where it's coming from. He put it in there. Amen. That's the value of being in church. That's the value of being in a Sunday school class. Because all the time God's given you things and you may think I'm forgetting, but you're remembering. And when it comes time, all of a sudden, God just attaches a little part of your brain over there and boom, out comes this verse. And it touches a little spot over there and out comes this example. Amen. And you're more excited than the person you're talking to because you thought, man, I didn't know I knew all this stuff. Yeah. Wow, this is amazing. Yeah. Man, that's the joy of soul winning. That's the joy. But that'll never happen sitting on a pew. Right. That happens when you get in the field. That happens when you begin to talk to somebody that needs what you have and needs to know what you know. Hallelujah. Amen. There's provision in the field. There's reward in the field. Amen. Praise God. There's comfort in the field. He said when you get tired, you just go over to the shade over there and just have a seat right there. Amen. Praise God. And I love this verse. I've read it many times through the years, and I think I've misread it, really. You ever misread a verse? You may have misread this one. Ruth chapter 2, verse 16 said, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose. Everybody say, of purpose. Not on purpose. I've always read on purpose, but it says of purpose. One of the most needful things in life is a purpose. People that don't have a purpose are pretty miserable people. That's why Christians get discouraged. It's because they lose their purpose. Let me say that again. That's why Christians get discouraged because they lose their purpose. Amen. Our focus and our purpose is to be in the field. But when we forget the field and we're not laboring in the field, we lose our purpose. And when we lose our purpose, we lose our burden. Amen. And we lose our love and we lose our compassion. Amen. We got to be filled with purpose, folks. We got to be filled with purpose. Amen. You got to have that purpose on the inside of you. Something that drives you. Something that keeps you going. Amen. Something worth living for. It's a greater purpose than yourself. David said it this way. He said, is there not a cause? Isn't there something greater than just being comfortable? Man, we sometimes we're challenged even by, you would think, secular ball players, you know, that you'd think the church had more purpose than they have. But you read about players sometimes, a quarterback will be sitting there and he tells coach, he says, I'm all right, I can play. And the coach says, you took a pretty hard hit. He said, I know, but I believe I can play now. And he goes back out there and he's got cracked ribs on his side. And every time he throws that ball, it's like somebody sticking knives in his side. And you hear him moan and groan and sometimes scream all the way over sitting on the bench. But he's out there because he's got a purpose. He's got a purpose. Amen. I've read of Olympians winning there some of their events, leaping, walking across a finish line with a broken bone in their foot or in their leg. How do you do it? Because they got a purpose. Amen. And the church needs that kind of purpose. Sometimes we get a little scratchy throat, or we get a little bit of a stomach ache or some other thing. I'm not talking about serious illness here, but sometimes we get sidelined by some things that are pretty minor. Shake your head like this, Brother Grissom, that's right. Somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody didn't talk to him, or somebody did, one or the other. Isn't that amazing? Either one can be deadly. I've had people get upset with me because I did talk to them and some it didn't. So I don't know. Amen. Praise God. But you know what happens? That's because you don't have a purpose in your life. That's because you've got your mind on the house and not on the field. You've got your mind on yourself and not on the treasure. When we get our mind on the treasure and we get our mind on the field, folks, it takes care of a lot of these problems. Hallelujah. You know what else Ruth found in the field? She found her Redeemer. Hallelujah. She didn't know it, but the Lord led her right to the right field. And there was a man there by the name of Boaz. And Boaz had everything that was needed to redeem her. Hallelujah. Amen. And buy back her inheritance. Praise God. And that's exactly what it did. You see, you want to meet Jesus fresh. And I'm going to tell you where you'll find him. You won't necessarily find him sitting on a pew. You'll find him in the field. You'll find him in the field. Amen. You know what else she found in the field? She found fame. You never know what you might find in the field. Amen. But the Bible says that Boaz married Ruth. And they had a little boy. And his name was Obed. And Obed had a little boy and his name was Jesse. And Jesse had a little boy and his name was David. Amen. And many years later there was another little boy come through the lineage of David and his name was Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you see, God plugged her right into to the lineage of the Messiah. And it all happened because she was in the field. It's amazing what you'll find working in the field. Hallelujah. I remember reading about Rebecca when she went with the servant of Abraham and she said, I'll go. She left everything, left her mom and left her dad, left all of her family, left all of her home life. And she said, I'll go and I'll be the bride of Isaac. Do you know where she saw Isaac? He was in the field. Amen. He was in the field. It's amazing what you'll find. You need to get married. You'll find the right one in the field. Amen. You'll find the right one in the field. Praise God. There was a young man that I knew, and when he went to looking for a girlfriend, you know where he looked? He looked at the altar. He was a handsome, talented young man. But he didn't look at the pretty little girls that tried to get his eye during the service. And he didn't look at the pretty little girls that after the service was over tried to flirt with him and get him away from the altar. He looked for that girl that prayed in the altar, the very last one. The one that had a consecration that kept her in the altar when everybody else got up and left. And he said, that's what I'm looking for right there. I'm not looking at the one who'll try to get me out of church. I'm looking for the one who'll help me stay in the church. I'm not looking for the one that's wanting to get me over the concession stand or the confession stand. I'm looking for the one that'll be in the altar. I want one that's in the field. I want one that's in the field. Amen. See, that's the best place to find a mate. Find one that's in the field. Find the one that's got a burden. Find one that'll work for the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I'm so very thankful tonight for my good wife. Amen. I got somebody that'll join me in the field. I found her in the field too. We were both in the field when we found one another. Amen. Praise God. And we've been in the field ever since. Amen. She just got her degree and was teaching, and we were finally almost about to get our bills paid off. That was a good feeling. All of a sudden, the Lord said, go to Columbia. I said, you know, the Lord said, go to Columbia. She said, let's go. Amen. And so we went. Amen. We served the Lord in Columbia, come home with nothing, all of our furniture gone, no possessions, and $8,000 in debt. Praise God. Amen. Just wonderful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But here we are a few years later, and guess what? Our house is full of furniture again. Amen. And we got a more stuff than we've ever had in our life. Praise God, got a house for $750 and a motorhome that was given to us. And you see, it's amazing what happens when you work in the field. Praise God. Just don't worry about it. You just go work in the field. God will bless you if you work in the field. I think I read somewhere he said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And you know what? When you're working in the field, stuff doesn't really mean a whole lot to you. Stuff doesn't mean a whole lot to you. Amen. Praise God, because you see, you know where the treasure is. And the treasure's not money in the bank. And I'm not against that. It must be nice. I've heard. The treasure's not in houses and lands and vehicles and clothes. No, that's not. The treasure's in the field. The treasure is in the field. Amen. Praise God. There was a prophecy some years ago at Because of the Times. Beautiful moving service. And when the message went forth, this is what the Lord said. He said, I will meet you in the field. I will meet you in the field. I will meet you in the field. You know what I think we need to do? I think we need to start a brand new church. I think we just need to start a brand new church. There's nothing wrong with this one, but I think we just ought to start a new one. And if just each one would win one, just each one would just win one, then we'd have a brand new church. We'd have a brand new church.
Hallelujah.
Sister Kimberly, have things been different around your house lately? It kind of changed some priorities, didn't it? And you know what will really bless a church and what will change a church? A whole bunch of new ones on the altar and the pews. But hear me. Whenever a kid's cutting up or crying, if it's not yours, you think, I wish that brat would shut up. Why don't somebody do something about that? But if it's yours, it's altogether different. Did you hear what I said? I said if it's yours, it's altogether different. If it's yours and somebody says something like that, woo! You talk about getting bold, and ain't the Holy Ghost either. Huh? Now you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what helps that? You know, and I know us Pentecostals. I've been a Pentecostal a long time. Amen. And I know how we are. And I've been in the rest a long time, seen a lot of stuff and heard a lot of stuff. Amen. And I noticed that for some people don't get cleaned up quick enough. And they just want to help out. Amen. They've been in the church now for a month. Looks like they'd be dressing better by now, don't you think? Huh? Yeah. Pastor, I think you ought to talk to them. If you don't, I'm going to. You keep your mouth off of God's people. You want the judgment of God to fall on you? You get to aborting His children. You see what a man believes in abortion, but God doesn't. We've aborted a lot of babies in Pentecost. You hear what I said? I said, we have aborted a lot of babies in Pentecost because we couldn't keep our mouth shut. But I'll tell you what will cure that. You go dig one out. You witness to one. You pray one through. You love one to God. And then you see what happens when somebody talks to the one you want. That's my baby you're talking about now. You better keep your hands off of it. And if we can feel that way about one, why can't we feel that way about all of them? I'll tell you why we have a problem. Because we hadn't been to the field lately. People that can be harsh and hard, it's because they hadn't been to the field lately. People that can tell everybody else how they need to be living and what they need to be doing, it's because they hadn't been to the field lately. People that have lost their compassion and their love and their mercy, it's because they haven't been to the field lately. You forgot the toil, you forgot the sweat. You forgot what it was like to pray and to agonize and to intercede. Forgot that. Folks, it's time to get back in the field. Hear what I'm saying? God will meet us in the field. Him and God will meet us in the field. You want better services? Let's get to the field. You want better singing? Let's get to the field. You want better preaching? Let's get to the field. You want better services? Let's get to the field. Amen. If we'll get in the field, God will meet us there. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's time, folks, to meet Him in the field. Matthew chapter 20. Jesus talks about a landowner. He went out early in the morning and he said, I've got a crop that needs to be brought in. Anybody that's willing to work, said, I'll pay him his wages. And went to get out in the middle of the morning, and he said, listen. He said, I got a crop that's got to get in. If you'll go out, even though it's kind of late in the morning, if you'll work, I'll pay you. He went back at noontime and he found some folks and he said, hey, he said, I got a crop that needs to get in. If you'll just get out there and work, I'll be glad to pay you. He went out again in the middle of the afternoon and he found some people that were not busy. And he said, I got a crop. We're trying our best to get it in. He said, if you'll get out there and work, I'll pay you. The Bible says he went out at the 11th hour, just 1 hour left before the day was about to end. And he said, I got a crop that I'm trying to get in. If you'll just get out there in the field and work, he said, I'll pay you. When it came payday, sun is set. It's time for people line up to get their pay. Those that went out at the 11th hour and just worked 1 hour in the field, he paid them. Those that went out in the early after the late afternoon, he paid them, and he paid them the same as he paid the one at the 11th hour. And those that had worked from 6 o'clock in the morning till sundown, he paid them the same thing as he paid the one that worked in the 11th hour. Let me tell you, it all pays the same, folks. It all pays the same. Amen. If you'll be a soul winner, and you and I will work in the field, we're going to get the same reward the apostles received. We're going to get the same reward that anybody that's ever won a soul to God received. Amen. It all is the same. We're at the 11th hour, and there's a voice that goes forth, and it says, the field is empty. The white, the grain is all white already under harvest. Amen. He said, would you go work in my field today? Would you? Anybody like to consecrate tonight? And let's come and make up our minds. Lord, I'm ready to go to the field. I love the table. I love the house of the Lord. It's wonderful. But God, I can't stand not to see somebody saved. It's been too long since somebody talked in tongues at this altar. It's been too long since we baptized somebody in this baptismal tank. It's been too long, Lord Jesus, since somebody wept their way to God in this altar. I'm ready to go to the field today.